certainly appreciate that prayer that's gone before. I do beg a continued interest in your prayer, earnest prayer, that we would not only feel the Lord's presence. I believe he's already been with us, but it is up to him. Amen to what's already been said. If the Lord does not choose to bless, there is no blessing. And so that we come as beggars, but yet the Lord has commanded us to come boldly in the name of Christ, knowing that there is not a thing that we ask of him that he is not able to grant. And so we ought not to go, let me put it this way, don't go praying small things. Pray big things, because it is the Lord's joy to not only grant you the big things, but to give them in abundance beyond what you ask. So we go in that prayer. I have in my mind, tomorrow is Memorial Day according to American holidays. But what I have on my mind today is a Memorial Day, but not tomorrow's Memorial Day. But in order to talk about this Memorial Day, we have to talk about memorials and what memorials are. Memorials is a scriptural thing. A memorial, in fact, in the Old Testament, memorials are used, the word used for memorial is used in two different ways. Either the memory that you are remembering, or it is the thing that is set up in order to remember something. They're used interchangeably. But a memorial is simply what we think of it nowadays is something that you remember. But is more than just not forgetting. You, especially when you get older, and I'm starting to feel this, is that you get forgetful. There are things that you just don't hold in your mind like you used to when you were younger. And I hate to tell you, but if you're young and you don't remember things very well, it doesn't get any better. It is something that gets worse and worse. But not forgetting is important. To have things that you dwell on, to have the memories that you hold. There are songs we sing, one, precious memories, others that are things that we have been told in days gone by, experiences that we have had. To draw on those experiences is a God-given gift. It is something that we ought to dwell on in days in our lives, to have those moments where we just simply think of the things of God's blessings in days gone by. Or, as songs that we have sung, it is not wrong to remember that you are a sinner. Because it is in dwelling on the fact that you are a sinner that you are brought to the point to remember that you are saved by grace. It is only the proud, those who do not think that they are a sinner, who thinks that they can actually earn forgiveness before God. It is a contradiction, by the way, to believe you can earn forgiveness before God, because to think that you can earn forgiveness thinks that you are worthy to earn forgiveness, and therefore forgetting that you are a sinner before the sight of God apart from the blood of Christ. But there are things set up in life for remembrance. They are more than just not forgetting. They are for a purposeful, focused dedication to dwell on something. And there are things given of God for remembrance. In the New Testament, one example that leaps to mind is there was once this woman who had a precious box of ointment, and she used that ointment up. It was precious. If you look into the price of it, it was a possession that you could afford once in your life. That's how precious this was. And she took that precious box of ointment and broke it. It was not fit to be used again. And she used that ointment on Jesus Christ. And this is the occasion where Judas, being covetous in heart, being a thief, saw that and was thinking of how much money that could have bought and how much money he would have had at his disposal, and said, that shouldn't this box have been sold, and used the politician's excuse, we could have given it to the poor. Politicians use the same excuses that have been used age old. It's for the poor or it's for the children. Well, we see examples in those cases both in the scripture. And so he used that example, but the Lord said, leave her alone. Against the day of my burial has she done this. And then he says this, wherever this gospel is preached, this that she has done shall be spoken of as a memorial to her. Not for him, but to her. That the gospel written, and we can read the account in both Matthew and Mark, it is recorded by God's Spirit through the scripture that that woman did that thing. And why is it? It's because the Lord wanted a purposeful remembrance that she gave all that she had to honor the death of Christ. Now, there are other memorials spoken of in the scripture. There's one in occasion where when the children of Israel were finally brought into Canaan's land, because going back to that reference about the children, they were brought to the borders of Canaan's land one day. But the generation that then was said, well, we don't want to go in because there are giants in the land. We'll have to fight battles in that land. Our children will be food for them. They'll destroy the children. So it's for the children's sake that we don't want to go in. And the Lord said, okay, it's for the children's sake. Fine. They'll go in, but you won't. And so for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness until that generation died. And it was their children that went into Canaan's land. And on the day that they went in, the river Jordan dried up. Or the Lord separated, just like he did with the Red Sea. He opened, he made a dry path for the children of Israel to go over Jordan's river. And as they did it, the Lord commanded to take stones from that river and to build a memorial on the other side. Now, there was another memorial built in the midst of the river. But in particular, there was a memorial, and each tribe was to have a stone set up. So that there were 12 stones set up, and it was for this purpose. That for the generations that would come, they would see that memorial and say, what does this mean? And it would give the occasion. It's one of those occasions where you were supposed to be waiting for the question. The generations that would follow, each one was supposed to be waiting for their children to say, what is this for? What is this statue for? What is this arrangement of stones for? And you say, okay, I get to give the answer now. I'm glad you asked that question, son or daughter. This is to commemorate when God brought his people into their homeland. Because for 400 years, we had been wanderers either through Isaac or Jacob or through the tribes in Egypt's land or as slaves in Egypt's land until the day that we were brought out of Egypt and we had to wander 40 more years because of the disobedience of our parents. But one day we crossed dry shod over that river. Those stones are from the bottom of that river where we came across, because by the power of God, we have been delivered home. That's for a memorial. It's for purposeful remembrance and dedication to the thought that God delivered Israel. There are other memorials given in the scripture. I want to go at least two more. One other is the very name of God. If we go to Exodus, I think it's Exodus 6. Pardon me while I go find that. No, it's Exodus 3. When Moses was before the burning bush and the Lord spoke to God out of that fire, Moses was commanded, God told Moses, I'm going to tell you, you're going to go back to Egypt. He's been 40 years away from Egypt. He left when he's 40. He's now 80 years old. And if you ever think you're too old for the Lord call you into service, take a lesson. You may be in retirement and the Lord says, I got something new for you to do. Now here's Moses. The Lord calls him calls out of the fire and says, I'm sending you to bring my people home. And Moses says, when I go, they're going to start asking questions. And they're going to say, in whose name did you come? Whose name do I give them? Because for all these many years, there have been names attributed to God, but God has never given his own name. Even to Abraham or to Isaac or to Jacob, to none of the patriarchs of old, he never said, this is my name. They just simply worshiped him as God. And so they gave names to places about God and they referred to God. But up until this point, he's merely known as the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. And so Moses says, they're going to ask. I know the people, they're going to ask. And God doesn't get upset. He says, you know what? Give them a name. And here is my name. I am that I am. The Jehovah God, the self-existent God. This is my name. When Exodus chapter 3, he says, and verse 14, let's get down to verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto thy children, or the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers. So, I am is the same one, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, which, by the way, I can't read this without making this comment. When he's saying this, he is saying, I am currently their God. He is not saying I was their God. And he's also not saying I was their God while they were alive, because he's saying they're right here with me. I'm still their God. That becomes important very much later. I don't know that we'll get back to it, but understand he is I am. And because he is I am, all that live in him live forever. I am that I am. That same I am is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. Do you know, from that point forward, Israel and all the people of God, including us, are to remember God as the all ever existent one, the I am, purposefully to dwell on it, to think that he never had a beginning. He never had an end. He never will have an end. He is always. And because he is always, his promises are steadfast and forever. And that purposeful remembrance is to bring to mind all of the covenant promises of God that were made before the foundation of the world, when there was just God. And if there is just God and he makes a promise, those promises are as eternal as he is. So that was given for a reason. And by the way, Israel at least did hold on to this. Now, they didn't hold on to it in the right way, because there was one day when someone else said that I am. And they weren't so happy about it. You see, Christ also claims the name I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, one part that was to their credit, they kept the name I am as a memorial forever. What they didn't realize is they were looking at I am in the flesh when Christ said that. And so they picked up stones to stone him. But they remembered what that meant. At least they had that. At least they remembered through the memorial of the generations that God is I am. But you know what? Christ is I am as well. And so as God is I am, and all the things that are about God are eternal, everything about Christ is eternal as well. He did not become the Son of God when he was made flesh. The Son of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. So there are memorials given of God, and there are several other memorials that we can go into in the scripture. In fact, before we quit, I want to make mention of one memorial that God set up for himself. But there are memorials given of God, but there is a particular Memorial Day that I want to talk about. A Memorial Day is a day set aside for the purposeful remembrance of something. In Exodus chapter, I think I have it marked because I can never remember it for some odd reason. Yeah, in Exodus chapter 12, this is the big day. For Israel. This is the day above all other days as far as Israel is concerned. This establishes who they are as a people. Now, I know that they have yet to go to Mount Sinai. They have yet to receive the law of God. They have yet to establish the atonement sacrifice. There's a lot that still happens. But this is a day of all days to Israel, and it should be to us as well, at least in remembrance. This is the day that the Lord delivers Israel. This is the day in which the firstborn of all in Egypt die, and Israel would have been no exception to this one. Now, if you go back and read the other nine plagues, simply because Israel was Israel, God accepted them from all of those curses. They did not suffer I don't want to name all nine of them, but they did not suffer all of those other curses. God withheld his curse from them. But everyone would have suffered this one, except for the fact that God instituted a Passover. He instituted the observance that by the blood of a lamb, his people would not suffer death. And so this Passover institution is the first primary institution as a people of the nation of Israel of the picture of Jesus Christ. It is the picture of Christ as the Lamb of God, the shedding of his blood, and it's only by the shedding of his blood that the people of Israel have the right to breathe the next morning. They have no right to claim Abraham as their father in this. They have no right to claim any obedience in this. The only thing that separates the nation of Israel from the death that everyone else suffers is the blood of the Lamb. And so God institutes this with them, the Passover observance. They observe this, and I've already forgotten the verse, but in chapter 12, he says this. Actually, let me see. Oh, it's about verse 14. Yes, verse 14. And this day shall be kept unto you for a memorial. So here is the first memorial day instituted in the scripture. Now, Sabbath day was an observance day, but it wasn't to remember something in particular other than the fact that the Lord finished his work. Now, that's important. Now, I don't want to diminish that. But this was a particular day set aside in order to remember an event rather than something that didn't happen. The reason why I want to focus on this is in order to remember something, something had to have happened. You cannot remember the future. We can't. God can consider the future as something that's already done. We cannot remember the future. We have to remember the past. It actually has to have been done. You understand? For something to be remembered, it actually had to have happened. Otherwise, it's an imagination or a pretend. To remember is for something to have happened, but for you to remember it in memorial is for you to focus and to dwell on it, to pay particular attention to it. Maybe if you were alive in the generation of the day in which you were called out of Egypt, that day, you can remember what it felt like for either Moses or one of the ones he sent throughout the report to hear and say, tonight is the night. Put on your shoes, get dressed, get ready to eat the Passover, and be ready to walk. Tonight is the night you leave Egypt. You might try to tell the generation that followed what it felt like to have the words of deliverance delivered to your ears, is that this was the day that not only have you been praying for all your life, that the generation since Jacob came into Egypt, that they've been praying for in their days for generations, that the agony and the toil of being a slave in Egypt has gone up to God's ears, and now you know that he's heard you the whole time, and that you have been blessed to be the one to live in the day that the Lord says, okay, today is that day. And then for the generations to follow to think about what would it have been like for me In fact, not only would it have been like, what is it like for me? Because every generation that's followed are direct benefits of this day. Every generation can think about what it means to them that this day happened. Now, every other observance of the Passover was an observance not of something that they are redoing. The Passover never did the same thing as it did this night. But it was a memorial of what happened this night. It only happened one time. But it was set in order to remember it forever. Because what happened that night was the redemption of Israel from darkness and from bondage and from slavery and from death. Because they would have died that night except for the blood. Now, this day is very close. Now, it doesn't use the word memorial because it was something that hadn't happened yet. But this day is very close to another day that was instituted. And you go to Leviticus 15 to read about that, 14 or 15. And that is the Day of Atonement. Now, you see, there's, again, I don't want to belabor the point to the point that it's all that I say. But the Passover day happened. So there is a memorial set up for that. But the Day of Atonement was a day set up to look forward to a day that would happen. So the Day of Atonement was set up so that the high priest would, and there was particular, in fact, this is one of the other memorials set up. The day, the high priest went in into his service in the Day of Atonement, having stones on each of his shoulders and breastplates on that had engraven in each the names of the children of Israel. And it says it was to be for a memorial for the children of Israel, so that it was apparent that the high priest was going in for the entire nation of Israel. But one, another distinction we'll get to in just a minute. But in the Day of Atonement, which happened on the 10th day of the 7th month of the year. Now, this was instituted to happen on the 14th day of the 1st month of the year. And this actually becomes important later, more so on the Day of Atonement. But we understand that on the 1st month of the 14th day, that's when the Passover lamb was to be slain. And in that observance, it was to show forth the deliverance out of the nation of Egypt, and so that the nation of Israel would be free to serve God. On the Day of Atonement, on the 10th day, on the 7th month, that month was set up so that it started on day 1 of the 7th month with a trumpet blast. There was a trumpet given as a memorial that this was an important month. That's all that was said about that month. It was to be a convocation, a Sabbath day, and that there were trumpets to be blown on that day. And the reason why is, if you read and understand, is that the seventh month was a very important month. That's when the Day of Atonement was instituted. And so that on the 10th day of that month, that's when the high priest would go in with bearing those memorials of the nation of Israel with the blood of the goat into the holiest of holies and to make the sacrificial atonement for the nation of Israel. But that was not done in memory of anything. That was done in anticipation. Those who understood the law, that was done in anticipation that there would be one day a high priest that should come and that he would deliver the nation of Israel from all of their sins. That the atonement day paired with the Passover day shows the picture of Christ, not only the blood sacrifice of delivering the nation of Israel, and that it was only by the blood sacrifice that we are delivered from sin, but that he, being our high priest, delivers the entire nation of Israel. Now, there's two, and this is the picture I wanted to join these two together. In the Passover observance, all of the nation of Israel were dedicated in that observance. It was a commandment later on in the book of Leviticus. And this was one of the feasts that every Israelite was supposed to do, or else there would be a death penalty to be attached to it if you would not eventually do this. And that is that you would declare that you knew that you were delivered by the Passover, by God through the blood of the Passover. However, every Israelite was not found in that holiest of holies. In the Day of Atonement, only the high priest was allowed to go in. He was going in for the people, bearing the names of the people in memorial. He was going in alone to offer up the sacrifice, but no one was suffered to go in into that holiest of holies except the high priest, because they would die doing so. In fact, the high priest himself, if he had made any mistake in the offering up, he would die. So very different pictures, but those are two pictures of the same event that would happen. Now, the reason why the Passover, let me move forward just a little bit more. In this observance, there was, in the atonement sacrifice, sacrificial observance, there was the remembrance of sin that was made. If you go to Leviticus, and I don't want to take the time and read everything, but if you go to Leviticus and you read about the Day of Atonement, later on, after the Day of Atonement was described and the days of the feast were laid out as to when that would happen and what would happen, on the 10th day, which was the Day of Atonement, every Israelite was to honor the day with a Sabbath day, and they were to mourn. They were to literally grieve for sin the whole day. That was the purpose of that day. There was that 10th day from sundown on the 9th day, which would have begun the 10th day, all night long, there was to be no mirth, no joy. It was to be a remembrance for sin. Now, I mentioned we sang a couple of songs today about remembering sin. And that's the purpose of the Day of Atonement. It wasn't to remember the Day of Atonement. It was to hope for the Day of Atonement. But it was to remember sin. It was to bring to mind the fact that we are transgressors before God. And except there be a sacrificial offering on our behalf by a high priest, we will not have peace with God. Now, how do you reconcile that with the Passover observance? Those are two different observances, but they point to the same day, and yet one has already happened for Israel. The other one is anticipatory for Israel. And that's because both of them are pictures for a day that would come, that would happen one time for all of the people of God, that would then be held in memorial for every day afterward by the people of God, in which all that are under the covenant of grace will have part in the blood offering of God, that they will be made free by the offering of the Passover lamb, but they will not all be there in the offering up of the offering. It will only be made by one man on behalf of the nation of Israel. And this, of course, is the Day of Atonement for all of the people of God, Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, the true Passover lamb. This is what the Day of Memorial was set and instituted in the Old Testament for them to remember, but also to anticipate. It can be a little bit confusing when you start looking at all of the prophecies of God, but also forget they're tied to very real events that happened to the nation of Israel. But understand, the Passover lamb, there was a Passover lamb sacrificed in Egypt that they were remembering day in and day out. That was a blessing to the nation of Israel. But every time they honored it, every time they remembered it, it was actually an anticipation of something that would come. And every time they remembered their sins and honored the Day of Atonement and mourned for it in that memorial for their transgressions, it was also an anticipation for the day that should come in which Christ would be our high priest and set aside sin forever for the nation of Israel. But now we live in a day in which we can remember and not anticipate anymore. There was a day in which the Passover lamb was slain and the nation of Israel had their Passover, that death came for all and Christ died in our stead. And because he died in our stead and offered himself up as our sacrifice, offered himself up without spot, without blemish, as our high priest, the whole nation of Israel being remembered in the very person of Jesus Christ, We have peace with God. Now we have the right to remember. And that is why Christ instituted a memorial day in the church. There is a table, and I don't know if your table has it, but many do. If you picked up that whatever's covering it, most tables have "in remembrance of me." On the night of the final lawful Passover observance under the Old Testament, Christ made a change. He took the emblems of the old worship, but he left one out. You see, one key part of the old Passover observance was the lamb. It had to die every year. But he stopped that, because what was about to happen was the forgetting of the Passover observance in Egypt. And what was about to happen was the Passover observance in Christ. He was about to become, he is, and always has been, but he was about to be the sacrificial lamb. So he left that emblem out, but he took the bread and the wine, and he said something very important that the Apostle Paul reports to the church at Corinth. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this. But the way the Apostle Paul repeats it is what I want to remember this time. And I'll try to go by memory. In 1 Corinthians, I believe it's around chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is having to deal with the church at Corinth in a misobservance of communion that they were going through. And he says, listen, just stop what you're doing. I'll come and I'll correct things. But you have to understand, I received this of the Lord directly. And the Apostle Paul was taught directly by the mouth of the Lord what happened that night. He says, I received of the Lord that in the night in which he betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, take, eat, this is my body. And then he says something in particular, this do in remembrance of me. And he said, likewise, he took the wine and he blessed it. And he said, this is the covenant of the New Testament in my blood. This do in remembrance of me. And then he says to the disciples, for as oft as you eat of my bread, eat of this bread and drink of my blood, eat of my body and drink of my blood, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now this may be better suited for a day in which you're about to observe communion, but understand, that is a memorial service. It was instituted so that we, with purpose, with attention, would not just simply not forget, but to spend the time to remember. What mean these things? What does the bread mean? What does the wine mean? It means that the I Am made a covenant with you before you were, a covenant for you before you were, placed you in the very person of his Son before you existed, and said, you are mine and you will never not be mine. And in the covenant love of God before the world was, Christ agreed that the sins that we would commit, knowing God was not surprised by what Adam did. He knew it. He already made covenant a provision for it. But understand, Christ knew exactly the price he would have to pay when he agreed to take the children of God into himself. He said, I will die, but not just die. Remember what happens on the cross. He suffers at the hands of men, betrayed by a near friend, forsaken of all of his disciples, one cursing, saying he didn't even know him when that very night said he would die for him. So I hope people here have never had the occasion of having a false friend. I'm not saying Peter meant to be false, but And Christ told him, you're not going to do this. Christ knew he wouldn't do it. Peter didn't believe him. When he did it, he saw the Lord's face looking at him and realized, yeah, the Lord knew the whole time. And he went out and wept bitterly. So I'm not saying Peter did it knowingly, but he was a false friend because he thought he could do more than he could. If you've ever had a false friend, the Lord knows what that's like. If you've ever been betrayed, the Lord knows what that's like. If you've ever been forsaken of everyone around you, the Lord knows what that's like. If you've ever been punished wrongly, the Lord knows what that's like. If you've ever been accused of horrendous crimes, the Lord knows what that's like, and yet be innocent. If you've ever been beaten, scourged, I'm not saying anyone ever has been to the point of the Lord, because the Lord says his visage was marred more than that of any man. I think he suffered more than any man could have suffered, because he could not die until he laid his life down. But understand, he suffered, bled, and died, and yet that was not the worst of it. Because what the Lord endured on the cross, by covenant promise, before the world began, was to be forsaken of the Father and left utterly and completely alone, bearing the weight, the shame, and the guilt of our sin in the very body he was made. He agreed to do this, but let us never forget the body that was broken and the blood that was shed. Because that was instituted as a memorial service for us to remember that it is not for us to just feel bad about it. Understand, let's thank God that that's not the only thing we remember. But we ought to remember, because why did he do that? What does it mean? It means he did it to put away sin. But do you know why it is a memorial service? Because it happened. And we remember it as the deliverance of God for his people, because that is exactly what happened. We don't remember it as the defeat of Christ. We should never go into the remembrance of the body and of the blood and of the sacrifice and of the offering and of the suffering and of the pain and of the forsaking and think, oh, well, this is the defeat of Christ. We don't have that memory of Christ. That is not our memorial. The memorial is that his body was broken and his blood was shed and he was victorious. And in the power of the Son of God, cried out after being forsaken of God, but being reunited with God after having offered himself up without spot and without blemish through the Holy Ghost unto God into that holiest of holies in the tabernacle made without hands. When he offered himself up and came back out, having obtained eternal redemption for us, he cried out, it is finished. He gave up the ghost, and 3 days and three nights later arose victorious, the body rising from the grave, never to die again. This is our memory. This is our recollection, and this is our memorial forever, for every generation until the day that he returned. That was the final memorial day given by God in the church. Of all the memorial days ever given in the Old Testament, and there are others, that is the best, and it's the last, because you know what? The next day we have in anticipation is not a memorial day, because it hasn't happened yet. But there is a shadow of that memorial day given, and I may just end up early, closing up early tonight, today, whatever day it is, day or night, back in Leviticus, before I turn there, I do want to turn to one other. Before I forget, I better do this before I forget. I mentioned that God sets up a memorial for himself as well. And it's not that God can forget. Does not have human frailties. He does not have human limitations. He doesn't forget like we do. Now, Scripture does say he chooses not to remember. And that's there's a big distinction there. It's not that God does not have the authority to remember. It's that by the covenant grace in Christ and by him paying the price, the justice of God will not allow him to remember it before us. He has forgotten our sins in that sense. But just like I said before, a memorial is not set up in order for you to not forget. A memorial is set up for you to purposefully remember, to dwell on it, to think on it, to consider it. And the Lord says this in Malachi. And I want you to consider, this is a day and time. This is right before the 400 years of silence from God. No more prophets until John the Baptist comes saying, the time is at hand, the kingdom of God is at hand. Kind of like Moses. It's happening in the day that you hear this. The generation that is alive now will see the actual deliverance of God. But this wasn't a day and time in which it was about to become very dark, very silent. And all that they would have are memories. All that they would have is the law that was given and the writings of the prophets and those that were before them. And if we remember, the captivity of Israel has been returned, but they're not doing what they should be doing. And Israel is going into false god worship again. And yet, there are some who remember God. And in Malachi, chapter 3...